Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Meta. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, I have two very special guests to talk about Trollbloods. So, first off, we have... I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name, Faye. How do you say that?
Repus,
okay. So, Faye Repus is joining us, and John Jr. Henry is the junior... After John or after Henry?
Junior's not needed.
Okay, John Henry. Faye, why don't we start off with you telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm an employee here at Privateer. I am actually kind of transferring what I'm doing right now. I used to kind of do half customer service, half playtest, and now I'm going straight into development. So, I spend a lot of time playing with a lot of models, not in a very traditional fashion. So, you know, some of my experience is a little skewed because in playtest, you'll point out that you've just assassinated their caster and then we'll rewind to keep on playing the game. So.
Awesome. So what sort of, how long have you been working at Privateer Press?
Yeah. So I've been working for, about 3 years. And I've been playing trolls in the game for about 10, right in the Mark 1, Mark 2 switch. So I never did Mark 1 at all. And I've been playing ever since Mark 2, although I haven't been much on the tournament scene since I started working here, because it feels a little gross to go to a tournament competitively when, you know, you help make the game.
So. That's fair. So what sort of history in gaming do you have? You said you've been playing this game for around 10 years. Was that kind of your entry point into gaming, or what other stuff have you played?
Oh, no. When I was a kid, I played, you know, paper and pencil all the way up to, you know, everything. And then when I was, last year of junior high, I started Warhammer, and I played that for a decade. And then they blew up my favorite world, and I got angry at Games Workshop, so I stopped playing that game. I know it's still a perfectly good game. I'm not like here bragging on Games Workshop, but yeah, I don't necessarily play a ton of their products anymore. And then I got into War Machine, and you know, about 7 years later I started working here, and yeah, now I'm kind of making the game, or at least helping. I'm the assistant. I'm not that important.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to be on the podcast. So, John, now it's your turn. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Canadian. I live in Ontario. I'm a social service worker, so I get, you know, work with people a lot. I'm a people person. I'm married, have a kid. Been playing the game since late Mark II. So there's like 6 months left before Mark II really got canned and went to Mark 3. So I haven't really been playing that long, but I've been playing Trolls the whole time, except for like a 6 month break when I played like CG for a bit. But yeah, that's me.
And have you done much gaming besides War Machine?
Before War Machine, I've never touched a tabletop game before. Since War Machine, I play a bit of Blood Bowl just because it gets me away from War Machine for a bit. But before that, I was into computer gaming. And I played Counter-Strike professionally for like 7 years, so that was fun.
Oh wow! You don't meet many people who've been able to do that.
Yeah, I unfortunately when I was playing it was before Twitch was big, so like the prize pool was pretty low. But sure. Played it long enough where I was able to, you know, pay enough of my tuition for college up here where I don't have a debt anymore, so it's pretty cool.
Ooh, that's really nice. Good.
Yeah.
All right, so. Let's go ahead and I'll talk a little bit about the format of the podcast. So we're going to be talking about Trollbloods, and the meta is a format where we're going to have our first main podcast episode, and it'll be about 45, 50 minutes, and then we'll continue the conversation on the bonus episode, and that's for people who back us on Patreon. Starting out... in the first episode, we usually have questions from people who back us at the $2 level on Patreon. But before we do, I thought it might be interesting to first have a conversation about the one of the things that people commonly said in Discord when I asked about this, basically they said that one of the things they would like to see with a conversation about Troll Bloods is, on the one hand, something that recognizes that there's potentially some challenges right now with playing Troll Bloods, but is also more, also is not negative, but also is more than just like get good or learn to play or whatever. So that's kind of the goal, I guess, of what we're trying to shoot for with the conversation. But I guess starting out, was I correct in reading somewhere that you had played in the WTC with Trolls recently? Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, I was 1 month prior to WTC starting, I was asked to join the team because we had someone that dropped. So I had 1 month to prepare.
Okay. And
that's hard.
Yeah. How did that go?
The experience or how I played the games? Like,
both.
Know.
Yeah, both.
The experience was great. I've always wanted to be part of WTC. I know most of the players around Ontario and some from out west who's on the team. So I've always chatted with them, always been close knit, and always shot ideas off them. But being a troll player, my ideas were always like shut down because trolls were not looked at as a top tier faction, let's say. Sure.
Your spirit, I see.
So going into the tournament, I just got done playing CG. I picked trolls back up again in the new year. I played CG for like 6 months and I dropped them because this wasn't my style of game. And then I picked trolls back up, and I've always loved trolls, always loved playing them, just how they look and beefy, bashy, lot of units. So I basically told them, yeah, I'll come, but I'm playing trolls. They're like, sure, whatever. You're probably one of the better troll players we know. And then from there, it was me 2 weeks of trying to figure out lists into the meta, because I haven't really been playing much before this. So it was like 2 weeks of grinding, talking, and just trying to figure out what two lists I could bring to WTC that people will have trouble with, because not a lot of metas have a strong troll player in their meta to play against, right? So like, they might have a troll player, you know, who plays like Cold Grandma, plays a Madrek one, plays a typical list. But I personally think of myself like a out to the left field thinker. So when I build my list, it's not just for team events. It's also for just like the game itself. So I went into it I was looking to go 4-2 in the tournament, and I ended up going 5-1. So it was a pretty good result for me and pretty good result for my team as well. We placed 6 out of the teams there. So,
okay. Well, that sounds awesome. So what was the pairing that you ended up doing again?
Yeah, let me just bring up. I have all this stuff up already. So my pairing was Kalandra in Band of Heroes and Doomy 3 in Storm of the North.
And what did you like about that pairing?
So my Doomy 3 list was mainly touched for Circle, Scorn minus Makeda 3, because that's just a dodge, and Rhett. And my Kalandra list, I just felt like I could drop into anything outside of that. So, like, my Doomy 3 list plays into Gary 2, and there was a lot of Gary 2 at the tournament, and a lot of Gary 2 going up to the tournament. It's just really good into that list, into that Gary 2 Asseria pairing. Like, it's just so strong. Doomy 3 can play into Reshef. There was a lot of Reshef Zol 2, so there was a lot of list chickens. I had two list chickens I was dropped into, and I was able to read the person right where I dropped Kalandra and they dropped Zol 2, and that was just a cakewalk for me. People just didn't know how rough 18 inches of Starcross can be. They thought this would be like easy walk over defense 12, but when you need sixes to hit Starcross, you're really like, you need a boost because you're not hitting sixes on average under Starcross. So, that's it. Give me a second, guys.
Yeah, people often don't do the math on Starcross, right? You know, it's...
Yeah, no, Starcross is a very rough spell to play around. And when you don't play enough of it,
two-ish match.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and start talking about some of the listener questions that we have. So the first one is from Hess. He says, "My local Trollbloods players have given up on the faction. How do I convince them to get back in the game?"
So, one thing that Trollblood players, I think, really need to do, especially if they're getting kind of burnt out on trolls, is look at playing in ways they haven't necessarily played Trolls before. I think one thing that people are really going to want to start doing is playing with a one KC list in their pairing. I know people are super down on KC, but Trolls need the drop into a lot of different armies. And, you know, you have your the Kalandra list that John was talking about, where it's, you know, very consistent, hitting hard and very difficult for something like Zal 2 to deal with. And then you've got a shooty army to deal with some of the other all-comers, right? I think that people have been really misjudging KC, and especially with the tanks coming up the road. Obviously, they're not out yet, but we've seen their rules, so.
So what, I guess, what do you like about Krill Company and for people who, which is probably a big chunk of our listeners, who aren't familiar with that theme list, what sort of models can you take in it and what sort of benefits do you have?
Sure. So KC, it gives you reroll to go first, and it gives you mark target on your solos, which is really great, especially with those brand new tanks that are coming out. I've been playing a ton of playtests with those brand new tanks, and I'm just like, this is great. Everything is great. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing what the meta does with them. And I'm hoping the meta will see some more troll shooting involved, because I think a really consistent, like a Kalandra BD list and then a KC list with, you know, actually Kalandra as well, but Cole Grimma, Grim 1, Grim 2, that kind of thing. But the list can run any War Beast, not just ranged War Beast anymore. That was a change in Oblivion. It can run with any Troll Blood model with a ranged weapon, which includes Partisan models. I know that we always get that question of, like, can I play Boomy 2 without using my minion slot? You can totally play Boomy 2 without using your minion slot. And this army, you have to play with knockdown a lot, which means you have to dodge the no knockdown armies, which are certainly out there, right? You've got Iona, you've got Zal, you've got a few others. And you got to dodge those, but that's why your alternate pairing has to be able to go into those. And you have to start really trying for some weird stuff that trolls have not been doing before.
What about you, John? Do you have any advice when talking to someone who's kind of given up on trolls or given up on playing the game because they love trolls and people would like to see them come back?
So I have conversations with people, I would say almost every day. We chat on Facebook Messenger and we talk about trolls. And there was a time there where most of us were down in the game, down on trolls. But how I go at it is, like, my list building is not a typical pairing of, like I said, the typical Cold Grandmas almost in all pairings, or Madric 1 or some Madric 2 or Grim 1. I try to go, like, out to left field and try to bring a different aspect to the game. Trolls used to be like Ruins of War, where it was just go on up and just beat everything down. Like, that was it. Like, you just destroyed everything. Or double Colossals or GK with Doomy 3. And now it's just like we have more wider scenarios. We need to play more units. We have units now we can use that people don't think of using, like Sons of Brag. Probably one of the best units we have in Trolls right now to use for the points. So I talk to them. I explain my way of style of list making and how I go approach the game. And also we have a thing called the Ontario Team Championship that happens in March every year. This year I put a 5-man troll team together. So it's kind of helped our area for trolls. And we have a lot of troll players right now. We have 5 current troll players going around playing at our local store. So it's kind of funny.
That's kind of awesome, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another way I've helped. I've lent out all my models to people, and I've borrowed someone else's models. So I'm, like, being extra careful with the models I've borrowed, and everyone else has, like, my old models they're playing with. So it's kind of funny. We have 5 players playing trolls. So.
All right, so let's move on to another question. This is from Hawk Frost. He says, what controls do into the Harbinger?
Harby's definitely tough. You know, it's a tough matchup. unless you can jank your opponent with a really weird, like, knockdown shenanigans that they're not seeing coming, or because they usually have to choose to either be immune to spells or no knockdown, with, like, Kalandra with some befuddle action, unless you can get something weird and janky with the assassination, it's just really hard to win on attrition against Harvey. And that's, you know, to me, that's kind of a natural predator of trolls.
Just going off of that, Harvey, it was one of my lower end lists I had to play and try to avoid, because attrition against her is just impossible. Mm-hmm. And my drop would be Calandra against her, and it is because of the befuddle stuff you can pull off. You can like scuffle a solo out here, or you force Harvey to martyr something that's contesting the zone over and over. So you need to like do your attacks a certain way. So she's like, man, how many more attacks do you have on this model? And they're like, well, I can get like 6 or 7 more attacks on it if you want to martyr them all right ahead. Like, so like you just gotta like play it to a point where like if you can get a scenario lead and then you can bleed pieces by and then make her also bleed by martyring all the time, you might be able to come up with like a long game assassination. Most of my Harvey's game goes down to clock or bottom of 7, and just how that game goes. It's really cagey, really technical, and you got to make sure you do your attacks the right way and not lose too many pieces as you do it.
Absolutely, 110%.
So one of the things that's kind of difficult about, like I've had the situation in various factions at various times where there's sometimes where one of the dominant lists in the meta is something that your faction just kind of has a hard time playing into. And right now it sounds like that's kind of the case with Trolls and the Harbinger. Would you say that that's correct?
Yeah, Trolls with Harbinger and Trolls with Grimkin, right? Grimkin is also a tough matchup for Trolls, and they're all over the place right now. You know, and that's, it's unfortunate. The steamroller scenarios are a little bad for Trolls, and the meta has kind of gone against the Trolls. So it is an unfortunate conflux of events.
So for myself, I have Makeda 3 is just a wipe. Like, I don't think a troll... It's hard to play in a Makeda 3. The Arcanon, if you have more than 5 Arcanons playing against Makeda 3, it's really like a cool when do I die type problem. Harvey is rough. Grimkin, I always find my games are 50-50. It's a toss-up. I really enjoy the games of Grimkin because it's really technical and you just got to be able to get a clock to the point where you can just kill it in a couple of attacks and able to follow it up with another one if you need to, which is always harder said than done. And then the scenario. I'm glad you mentioned that you think scenario is harder. I personally think scenario in SteamWorld 2019 has been better for trolls. That's just my stand on that. And I've been...
Oh, don't get me wrong. I totally agree with you. I think it's better for trolls, but the way that trolls have played in the past, I don't think functions in this season.
100% agree right there. It's the people are bringing the past list or the past mindset into the new steamroller, and you just cannot do that nowadays. You need to think differently. You need to plan differently. You need to play your strategy differently. And you just can't go up and say, okay, shoot my guys off the table because the following turn I'm going to kill all your guys. It doesn't work like that anymore. You need to, like, waves of guys. You need to, like, bait them in. Like, it's totally a different game for trolls. We're not the hard, bashing beast brick that we can be anymore. We're more of a technical, send a unit on the flank, ambush all those battle bears, force them into the middle of the table, and just crush them. It's just where we are right now.
One of the things I'll say is kind of more of a backup view when you're kind of in this situation is that, as I've said, I've been in it throughout my career as a War Machine player. And one of the things I've noticed is that, you know, this doesn't necessarily say, like, how am I going to beat the Harbinger specifically, but this is more some good practices or good ways to think about or approach it. And some of it is that, a lot of times you need to think outside the box when trying to come up against these matchups. Another thing is that sometimes you make the best that you can, and sometimes that also, though, means that, like, let's say you're hoping to win a big event or whatever. Sometimes that means that sometimes you go to a bunch of events and just try to get the events lined up so that you end up dodging some of the really bad matchups, or that the assassination that you're doing against the Harbinger works the time that you end up winning the event, or, you know, things like that. And then the final thing that I think that helps to help not lose hope when dealing with these things is that, you know, right now we may be in a situation where the Harbinger and Grimkin are things that are really dominant forces in the meta, but everything has a season, everything has a cycle, and this thing that you're struggling with right now is going to fall out of favor in the meta, where it's going to, people are going to be teching for Grimkin or teching for the Harbinger, and then those lists are going to end up becoming less popular. And so there's sometimes that if you just have enough patience, that the problem will sometimes just kind of work out itself as it falls out of popularity in what people are playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. I do think that trolls are, you know, just kind of in a tough season right now. Like, there's a lot of natural enemies out there, especially Makeda 3 and Harvey. But, you know, it should be noted that it's not just a wait and see problem. There is definitely a good chunk of troll infantry that are probably a tiny bit too expensive. And that does really mean that at the end of the day, you end up losing out on, you know, one solo or one unit that should be in your army and isn't, because trolls are probably a tiny bit too expensive in a few places right now.
So a follow-up question from Hawk Frost, and it sounds like you've kind of already touched on this, John, but we can maybe do a twist on it. He says, what pairing would you suggest for someone who doesn't want to play Kolgrima? And so obviously you've been doing a pairing with that without that. But I guess let me do a little twist on this and ask, why do you think Kolgrima has been so popular? And what do you think the advantages of having a pairing that doesn't have her in it?
So I think Kolgrima has been popular because she's probably one of our better casters. I am not going to lie. She's really good. She has all the tools. And when you compare Kolgrima with an Arc Node, like we can in Power Adunia, it's really good because you have that assassination threat. Hunter's Mark is really good. Her feet, I've always found lackluster at times because she has to be played at four and make sure she has to tag everyone. But like, you can just play a whole bunch of infantry in Storm of the North. Everything's frozen. You can Hunter's Mark something. Your Bow Bear is now threat 16 off the side of the board. Like, it's just disgusting. Your champs can threat two more inch. Like, she has all the tools. She provides a cloud wall. And the reason I didn't play her is because every other troll player, I want to say 8 out of 10, plays her, which means every other faction out there has played against her or knows the tools or knows how to deal with her or has some kind of tech for her. So I feel like if you break the mold and you go off center and you show up to a tournament with two lists that are not Kolgrima or Madrek 1, you will catch them by surprise. And that's, I went to WTC, one of the biggest tournaments for Machine, and I caught a lot of people off by surprise when I threw down Kalandra or Doomy 3. They were like, okay, cool, I'm just going to drop this. I'm like, okay. I think 4 or 6 rounds, I was dropped first. I was bust, and people were just like, cool, you can have this and this. I'm like, cool, I'm going to take Rhett and win. And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, let's go. It's like, that's just how much confidence I had in my matchup with my parents. And you don't need to bring a beast list. I brought it just because Rhett was huge, and having Arcane Vortex and Mulg, and it's kind of tough to get mortality ever off in a matchup. I played Kolgrima because she fixes Matt pretty good. You can reroll anytime with her using Focus or Fury, and she also fixes your damage. So, like, your POW 12 of Fenblade going, don't like the damage roll, just reroll the whole thing. Like, it's, you can't really do math with her. So, when people are trying to figure out math, I'm just like, I'm just gonna go in and roll dice. And that's how I did. I just rolled dice. Have fun doing it.
Yeah, I went to a tournament just a couple of weekends ago, and I think it was it was Zadaroth. He was on feet turn, defense 19, and I'm like, okay, I need 11 with my battle engine to hit you, and then you just lose the game. And he's like, all right, show it to me. I'm like, oh, I did it. Kalandra said yes.
Yep. Like,
I re-rolled the dice like 14 times. I'm like, whatever, cool.
If you're making a pairing without Kalandra, what do you think are some important considerations to take when crafting the pairing?
I think Band of Heroes is, I hate to say, is almost like a mandatory list right now, just because the RFP is huge.
So for our listeners who aren't familiar with Band of Heroes, could you give a quick rundown of what type of models can go in it and what the benefits are?
Yeah, I'm just bringing up my phone here.
Awesome.
We got special rules for this. Unfortunately, there's only one special rule, and it's all warrior models with their melee attack gains takedown. Basically removes them from play. Let's see here. There's a lot of things gonna be taken. Melee units. So like, you have your champions, your Krayl Warriors, the Fenblades, your warders, long riders, the Skinner. Skinner's amazing. non-character warbies. And of course your minion unit slash souls you could take. It's neat. I think it's just needed because of the RFP. It scares people off of certain lists, which then just plays to your advantage. So like when you have a lot of dudes, you can run up the table and they don't want to play their dude list because like your dude list just kind of like RFPs them off the board. You're able to like gain that advantage. So like I played Calandra into Scar 3 at the WTC, and it was a little bit of a game because it was on standoff or spread the net, sorry. And like just that's always a game for trolls because it's really hard to spread out so far and play your game. But not having him recur was amazing because I always ended up with like I would kill two or three dudes to his killing one. So like it was a really good trade off for trolls. And when you can do that and get a scenario lead, you can just like bleed pieces slowly and just control the game from there. That game went to bottom of 7. I wanted CPs like 18, 12 or something like that. It was a long 2-hour game, bottom of 7. But I was up so many CPs, so I could just bleed. I could bleed one CP and score 2 on my turn, knowing that I could just keep doing that all game. So like it was really good. Without Calandra, you can play anyone. I have so many lists made. Like when I came back from WTC, I deleted every single list I made and just remade new lists. That's just right now I have Madric 2 with a Sea King in Band of Heroes with double Krill Warriors, double Fen Blades, like, and it just does work on the table with the Hermit. Like it just does so much work. And my pairing to that right now is Doomy 2 in Storm of the North with a whole bunch of War Beasts and they threat 17 at the table. So like people are not prepared for casters that you haven't brought to the table. Like when's the last time you've seen Madric 2 or Doomy 2 on the table? It's probably been a while.
Yeah, I could definitely echo. Every once in a while, you should just go to your war room and delete all your lists, right? Just do it. Like it. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you want to keep one list, but like just do it. Like you got to keep on making new lists. And if you don't reinvent, you're going to end up stagnant. And if you end up stagnant, you're going to have huge swaths of time where you just don't feel like you have a game. And that's no good. If I were to do a list pairing without either of the grandmas, no Calandra, no Hulgrimma, it would probably be, Gristle. Either of the Gristles in Band of Heroes would be fine. And then I would probably play like a Grim 2 in KC. Grim 2 has a lot of great answers to a lot of people, but you have to play him really on the nose because he likes to get assassinated.
Yeah, Grim 2's a really a technical caster, and if you can pull that off, that's what I used to play, and like Starburn 3, and just it's really good. Like we have so many good casters outside of the, let's say Calandra now, let's say Cold Grandma, even say Madric 1, because there's a lot of Madric 1, even Grim 1. Grim 1's an amazing caster, but like when people understand what he does, they can play around it. But like we have so many good casters. Like I'm just looking through my list right now. I have Gunborn, I have Jarl. In Storm of the North, with no stone. Like, it's just an amazing double long rider list, double battle bear list. Like, just come at me. Like, I threat so far. I do so much damage. Magic Bullet's amazing. Like, there's so many lists. And when tanks come out, I'm on the Gristle 2 KC train. Yeah. I've been preaching that since I've heard about the tanks, and that's where I'm going to go.
Yep. Yeah, I played one game with the tanks. In playtest where I sat down with my opponent and I said, I'm going to win on CP in turn 2. And they're like, that's not true. And then I did it. And they're like, that sucks. Because there's so much push in that army. So much push. If you play with like a Glacier King, all the tanks, Thumpers, Boomy 2, right? Like everything pushes in that army. And with Grim 1, you can do some stupid things like win on CP on turn 2.
Yeah, I mean, so real quick to play off of, I guess, some of the things you guys have been saying for a bit now. Like, I've kind of felt for quite a while in War Machine that one of the best ways to have a competitive advantage is to be playing things that people aren't familiar with. And that, you know, in Mark II, I felt like the optimal strategy was you needed to like just play Haley 2, play Asphyxius 2, and master those casters. And the power disparity between Haley 2 and Asphyxius 2, if you really learned them, even when people had experience versus them, and they had lists that were like tailor-made to try to fight against them. They were just so much stronger than the other options you could bring, that was the optimal strategy to pursue. But in Mark III, especially as we've gotten further along in the CID process, it really feels to me like the optimal strategy to, if you're looking to do well in tournaments or events or whatever, is to always be innovating or looking at lists that people aren't expecting. And there's a big difference playing against an opponent for, or a caster for the first time, or versus like the 40th time versus, you know, Gareth 2 or whatever there is right now. And so I think that's a really important thing to consider.
Yeah. You know, I mean, War Machine, it's almost problematically large at this point, right? Like, you just, it's, there's so many rules and so many things to keep up with that, you know, even me, you know, I have, you know, a million different factions in my head at all times. And I have about 18 different rule versions of all of those models. But so like whenever I sit down at a table, I always think, okay, what do I need to look out for? And like, how can I change my playstyle in a way to make it okay that I'm playing into something new and to play something new, right? Because that always catches people off. But yeah, it's a difficult game.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do another listener question. So this is from Zap Brannigan. He says, are there any pieces you think that troll players are overlooking?
Sons of Brag.
Yep. John's right.
The best unit in our faction for the points and what they do.
Yeah.
Amazing. If you don't have Sons of Brag in Band of Heroes list, you're doing something wrong. I hate to say it, but you are. They're better than a min champion unit. We used to take a min champion unit. They're 1 point less now. They have more boxes. They hit harder. And they have their own fell call. Like, you can't go wrong with them. KC. I throw them in KC for my melee unit. Because, like, they're amazing in KC for controlling a zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Sons of Brag. Minstone. That's where I play. I've always preached Minstone, but
yeah, I like Minstone in anything but KC. In KC, you need the extra couple of inches to be able to break stealth and incorporeal because it's just so important to KC. But yeah, and speaking of KC, I think that people are kind of down on a lot of the shooting units, especially Highwaymen. God, they're a kick in the pants with Calandra, right? Like, I've watched a unit of Highwaymen just destroy a Kador Jack by themselves because Calandra turns it around.
No, yeah, like, befuddling them backstab is just such, it's so good. But the problem is you got to get Calandra that far up the table to pull that off. And if you don't pull it off, she's likely dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, it's cagey. I was down on KC
for a long time. Very good on your target priority or else you'll get yourself killed.
100%. I was down on KC for the longest time because they took away the shooting for your own guys. To me, that's still a little bit of a gut punch because I used to play KC all the time with, like, Grim 1 or Grim 2. But they took that away. It's kind of like I used to play Scattergunners and, like, Slug Gunner or what are those? What was that unit? Slug Guns?
Burrowers?
Yeah. One sec. Let me just find the list. But no, KC, like, shooting your own guys was a down. But then I started playing them again. And Mark the Target is pretty cool. You don't need to take those ambushing Mark the Target anymore. Or lookouts. You can just have a solo hang up there. Now the tanks. I totally blanked that the tanks could be Mark the Targets as a large base. So that's actually pretty cool. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to KC. Starting November, I'll be playing those definitely with the tanks and Gristle 2. That's where I'm starting. But no.
Yeah, I was in the dev room when the decision when I like brought up, hey, why can't trolls shoot through each other anymore? Like, why are we doing this? And trolls didn't have a great answer for me. And I'm like, okay, at least give like Highwaymen practice maneuvers, please God, do something.
Yeah, it was a big hit to KC because you used to just bring a whole bunch of like medium base infantry and you could shoot through your other medium base infantry. Mm-hmm. And like when that was gone, I was just like, how do I layer my attack now to do the same thing I was just doing? Because I can't shoot the things that are in front of me and then charge farther deep. Now I got to, like, charge the guys in front of me and shoot farther deep. but we don't have that range of guns. Like, so it was a kick. It still is a kick. I haven't really played much KC since, but I'm looking forward to playing KC now because of the tanks. So, Joel, keep stressing that.
Yep. Tanks. Let's do it, guys. All the tanks.
No, the Sons of Rag is your answer, Jay.
Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to chip in on that one, Faye?
Let's see. Things that are often overlooked. I think Krill Warriors are sometimes overlooked. They are cheap. They are great bodies, and they actually tend to do some work. I wish Caver Throwers were better, but you don't need to take Caver Throwers. It can just be everyday Krill Warriors. It does suck painting up 10 models and being like, they're going to die every game and probably not do a ton of work, but they're real good.
I'm so glad you said Case Carolers. They are like my go-to unit in Band of Heroes. I currently have two units of them in like every Band of Heroes list. One can be Max, one can be Min, but they jam so hard. Oh, even like Storm of the North, plus one speed and go it. Or Gristle 1 with Hoof It. Like... Or Gristle 1 with Hoof It. Like, they're so good. They're cheap. They're good tar pitting, which can deliver your army. And I feel like they can contest. Those are the models you can bleed away with. And bleeding models away to win on scenario late game is how you win this game. So,
yeah.
Krill Warriors are amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, let's do another question. This might not be... And maybe you can contribute or not, Faye, but we understand if you can't on this one. But this one's from Hess again. He says, what would you like to see to make the faction more appealing? Not thinking about over-the-top wish listing, but more smaller changes or quality of life changes to bump the faction up.
Can you say anything here, Faye, or no?
I know, Faye, you already said that there were some point adjustments.
We could talk about point adjustments. That's needed, I think. I echo that.
Say some stuff. So the first thing that I have to say is that this isn't gospel, right? This isn't what you're getting.
Right.
You know, I am not the voice of PP, and I'm not telling you what you're getting. So
everyone listen.
That has to be said. You know, but I literally have a list of changes. I think there's 15 changes on my computer. That, you know, I keep on occasionally trying to pitch. You saw a few of them come off my list in Oblivion. And a lot of the changes are not necessarily what people would think, right? A lot of the things that I think trolls really want are a lot of their units kind of losing that tough tax, right? You know, it's tough in Mark III started out as a more expensive ability, and I don't think it's quite as expensive anymore. So, you know, just a lot of kind of the middling units going down by 1 point min, 1 point max kind of thing is, I think, a lot of what trolls really, really want to be able to get back out into some of their units that they're not consistently playing with.
I would like our lights to be looked at. You don't see enough lights on the table. You know, that's probably because the EE used to be just huge with Calandra, but like, I feel like our lights could get a little bit of a tuned. Maybe not just the point wise, but also like some of the animuses that some of these lights have or use. Like, I don't remember the last time I ever fielded Slag Troll.
you say that Slag Troll's in literally all of my lists.
A Swamp Troll. Swamp Troll's cool because now it can like crit consume the Hermit. That's cute. Mm-hmm. But like the chance you gain that off is like 2% maybe. But like I see myself bringing Impaler. I'm just checking what my lists I have right now. Impaler, Axer's huge. Like, Rush is just bonkers. I chatted with some people at WTC. We chatted about, like, a light, like, Circle has that can give Primal out. So you're not, like, trying to get Rock for Primal. You can have, like, a light that could be, like, 12 points for Primal or something like that. That's something that you can, like, fish around with. But I feel like our lights need some love. I play with a Stormcrow once in a Blue Moon. Axer in most of my lists, I need it. I used to bring a Bouncer, but now just a Min Valkyries is just better. So like Impaler for the odd list, you need Snipe for, you don't want to go over battle points. Mm-hmm. Our heavies are priced pretty well, but like the Bomber for 19 points hurts me. I don't like paying the 19 points for Snipe or an AoE force. I feel like maybe down to 18, just open up a little more room. And also I think the Troll Dire Blitzer needs to be relooked at, because I always try to bring one on the table. It just doesn't go. It might because the rate of fire D3 could be the problem, because you never know how much gunshots he actually has. But yeah, not a fan of that heavy. Even
yeah,
though I
it's
four of them.
The Blitzer's a real tough heavy to balance. You know, I've pitched changing the Blitzer, I don't know, 10 times, and I often get you know, not knocked down, not ignored, but that's the dev room. Is you sit around at a table, if you pitch things, and people go yes, no, or let's play test that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of how things work. So, but yeah, you're right. I think the lights do definitely probably well, some of the lights need to be looked at, not all of them, obviously.
Yeah, some of them, sure.
But yeah, I think that's all I want to say there.
That's fine. So like going off the whole heavy thing, like a Blitzer and a Mauler are the same points. And like you're more likely going to bring a Mauler over a Blitzer anytime, even if you want to have a gun. I think the Mauler, like even the Mauler goes in KC now. You don't see a Blitzer with a gun. They're the same points. Why would you bring a Blitzer? And Mauler just opens up so many more doors. So like the Mauler definitely needs to be looked at. Or not the Mauler, the Blitzer needs to be looked at. And I feel so sad for it. I feel so sad.
Yep. I agree. I will keep on making that pitch just for trolls. I will do it for you guys. I will hit my head against that wall.
This will maybe be a good thing for us to close out on for this first half. But we've talked a little bit about various models that might need looked at or adjusted. But one of the things that I think is really attractive about trolls is that their gargantuans look really cool, and that I think that in the right list they can also be pretty effective. And so I guess first off, what have been your guys' experiences with playing some of the gargantuans?
You can go first, Vic.
Okay. I actually really like where all the gargantuans are at right now. They're the recent point drop on the two of the kings. I think really put them in a great place. I think that you can basically do whichever king you currently need in your army. The mountain king can play pretty well into a few different armies, although the sea king tends to usually beat it out just by an edge. And the Glacier King is more of a KC special, right? Because you're looking for a lot of weird pushes and a lot of weird stuff.
So for myself, last year I played OTC. I used Gunny with a GK in Band of Heroes. It was a really interesting twist. And I have actually one of my players taking that exact list to this year's OTC team event with Gunny and Band of Heroes with a GK. Guided fire on a GK is really good. You also have a Norse King Elder, which adds +2 damage to his gun. So now it's a power 16 gun. So GK is there for definitely for that shooting support, stay back, provides concealment to your army. So like whoever was winning 2 inches or three, was it 2 or 3? 3 inches of this model.
Yeah, it's 3. Yeah.
You get, concealment from shooting. So that's a really cool tech. I used to field a Mountain King at Star Mark 3 when I used to run Power Adunia, Gristle 2, Double Bombers, Mountain King, Axer, and the Knot. I used to run that, and I used to just blow casters off the table. I haven't touched one since. I own two of every. I only own one Sea King, so that's a lie. So I own two of every Mountain King and GK, I guess. Sea King, I didn't give it much love for the longest time until I recently started giving it a lot of love with Madrak 2. This past like month, Madrak 2 and a Sea King and Band of Heroes is my current pairing. I'm actually playing in a tournament in a week with. It's just Madrak 2 and a Sea King. And when a Sea King can use its Animus first to clump guys together and then shoot those guys. So like anything within 2 gets pulled in, then he shoots the middle guy with his gun. And if it's living, it's poison, so it's additional die, which means just like everything just blows up. It's kind of cute to see some people's faces, especially when I did that to my buddy who's playing champions. I just like stacked the champions together and just shot all the champions with poison. So I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to shoot you a POW 13, boost a gun all day, and then boost the blast damage. Sea King is really cute. Provides a lot of cool tech. I used to float with a Calandra, Sea King, and double Earthborn list. So your Earthborns were always like plus 2 speed around the Sea King because of the water. Sea King is really underlooked at troll players. I think they mostly lean towards a GK or Mountain King.
Yeah, I think it's getting looked at a lot more since the point drop, because that point drop was so big. I think it lost, I think it was it 3 or 4 points?
Three points. It went from 39 to 36.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, it's a good piece. Like, it's a good solid piece that does a little bit more jank than the Mountain King does. And it gets kind of the same thing done. And it tends to be, if you're going to field it, you field it as your entire battle group. Right. It's basically that and maybe an Earthborn, or that and a light or something crazy. You know, you don't have a big battle group surrounding it, and it tends to do really well solo.
So I have a little bit of a confession in regards to the Sea King. So I was playing trolls at the end of Mark II, and it was, you know, a lot of Calandra and Runes of War. And then I was playing trolls at the start of Mark III, took trolls to WTC, played quite a bit of Madrak II, who was not really fair at that point. And then he got nerfed, and you know, they had like the preview art for the Sea King, and he came out, and I saw his 39 point price tag, and I was just like, what is even going on with this faction, and what am I doing with my life? And it was, the Sea King was the model that broke my will to play trolls. And I'm really excited that it is, you know, been adjusted since then, and you know, is something that's has its place on the table now, because I was super crushed when his initial stats released.
Oh, I was also crushed when his initial stats were released. So, 39
points was just not worth taking a Colossal on a list. Like, no. Especially like old list making. Like, now and then, like, it was so hard to get like 3 free points or three solos or whatever back then with a Sea King in your list, because the points just didn't add up. So,
unless you're playing Power of Dunia, in which case.
Correct. Yeah. But then,
it's still crappy.
Your list was a caster, a rune bear, a colossal, 2 heavies, 1 light, and a minstone. That was it. Like, but no, the Sea King might be one of our best huge bases. Just don't quote me on that, but I'm.
No, come on. It's Warwagon. Don't.
Okay, sorry.
Let's not quibble here.
Huge base war beast. There we go. Let's do it that way. Because the Warwagon is pretty badass.
I'm sitting here looking at a Gristle list that you sent me, which I love. Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's my secret tech coming November.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining us on this episode. We appreciate it very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having us. Anytime.
Yeah. And we're going to continue the episode in our bonus episodes, or continue our conversation in the bonus episode. So go and check us out on Patreon, and we're going to cover things like playing into Steamroller 2019, and we'll talk some about some of the battle engines or other models that the trolls can be looking at. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Muzon Minis and Discount Games Inc. And so you can get your accessories or gaming items from those two places. And we appreciate everyone who supports us.
Indeed. Buy stuff.
Buy stuff, yes. So, John and Faye, thank you again for joining us.
Yep.
Anytime.
And we'll look forward to continuing this conversation in the next episode.